It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll dive into Milwaukee history with a new exhibit showcasing decades of beer brewing in the Cream City.
First, when it comes to the relationship between hip-hop music and politics, it hasn't always been a smooth ride. Themes of subversiveness and anti-establishment messages run through many songs. But according to our next guest, that relationship fundamentally changed during the run-up to the 2008 election, when Barack Obama became the first candidate to openly embrace the genre and made it a focal point of his campaign.
But since taking office, Obama's support of hip-hop has seemingly taken a backseat. Our guest says all of this has created fundamental shifts in the music and how its listeners relate to politics in the American political system.
Travis Gosa joins us now. He's an assistant professor of social science at Cornell University's Africana Studies and Research Center and co-editor of the new book, The Hip-Hop and Obama Reader. And Travis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
So why was hip-hop initially seen as something akin to poison for presidential campaigns before Barack Obama?
Well, in 2008, Barack Obama really threw all caution to the wind by being the first presidential candidate to openly embrace hip-hop music. For decades, it's been associated with criminality, right? Outlaw culture, right? The worst things that you would want to bring up to brand yourself as a candidate. You can think back to Jesse Jackson's second run in 1988. He openly rejected hip-hop culture, right? He called it a scourge of gangster rap music, and even went as far as encouraging people to bulldoze, right, rap CDs. In 1992, when Bill Clinton ran, right, and as the first black president, he really tried to brand himself as the youth candidate. Remember, he went on the Arsenio Hall show and played the smooth saxophone. But yet even Bill Clinton openly rejected hip-hop culture. He was forced in 1992 to really renounce the music and messages of Public Enemy, particularly the artist Sista Souljah. And so now that's actually known as the Sista Souljah moment, in which most candidates have been forced to renounce, right, extreme messages and ideologies as a way to move to the center of the party.
So
Barack Obama,
Let's go back to those lead-up days to 2008. What did Barack Obama do to show that he was embracing hip-hop music and maybe by extension hip-hop culture too?
Well, one thing that he did early on was to really connect himself to mainstream artists such as Common, who is also from Chicago. We had Common in 2007 really saying that we can trust Barack Obama, that he really represents change. In early 2008, right, you had the presidential candidate hanging out with Jay-Z, Young Jeezy, inviting, right, Ludacris and other mainstream artists to be really the voice of his campaign. By doing that, Barack Obama perhaps became the first president to also be to go viral. Right, we saw amateur rappers, fans, youth really taking to YouTube and creating dances, tribute songs. At one point, there were over 700 rap songs dedicated to encouraging youth, in particular urban youth, to turn out and vote. Really, the result was, right, the biggest turnout of young millennial voters since 1972. And so he was really able to capitalize, right, on using the music as sort of a de facto viral music campaign.
Use the word, use the music. Is there a sense at all that he used the music in a way that was maybe not always in the best of faith, because later you say that he backed away from it? Or was there the beginning of a relationship that was onward and upward and a healthy thing that was mutually beneficial in both directions?
Well, after the 2008 election, we saw many artists begin to question, right, what became sort of an Obama mania taking over rap music. More politically radical groups like Dead Prez, like KRS-One, began to really question, okay, now that the now that we have our candidate elected, you know, what is he really going to do, right, to address the fundamental issues facing young urban voters? And so in a way, Barack Obama early on began to face many questions about whether or not he was really capitalizing on many of the hip-hop organizations that were formed in the early 2000s, right? We had, you know, groups such as the Voter Die campaign with Sean Puffy Combs. And those groups really began to ask, you know, what type of in-kind policies should we expect from the president? And so by 2011, right, the tone went from optimism, hope, excitement, to some of the major artists such as Lupe Fiasco outwardly challenging Barack Obama to carry through on his promises, right? We have Lupe Fiasco referring to Barack Obama as the biggest terrorist, right, in the world due to his policies in the Middle East, his treatment of Muslim Americas. And so really this relationship begins to sour on both sides by 2011.
We're talking to Travis Gosa right now from Cornell University. He's co-editor of the new book, The Hip Hop and Obama Reader, talking about the relationship between hip hop and politics. And as we know, President Obama ran on a message of hope and change. How did those themes play out in the music at the time?
Well, in 2007, 2008, and 2009, right, we really saw artists rejecting the nihilism of the past. You know, before 2008, most rappers proudly proclaimed that the only presidents they cared about were dead presidents, right? I.e., right, the faces on stacks of $100 bills, right? We had, you know, artists who were dedicated to making songs, right, proclaiming the evils of Ronald Reagan and Nixon and so forth. And so in those early Obama years, right, we have songs not only proclaiming that our president is black, but using the music to really regain sort of that lost political consciousness that was more present in the 1980s. And so we have songs that, you know, begin talking about the importance of fatherhood and community service and running for office and becoming financially responsible. By the time you get to 2011, however, we see artists begin to openly critique Obama for what seems to be a full-on reversal of his earlier position of being, right, an advocate of hip-hop culture.
And we've got an example of the more positive era of that music. This one is called Black President.
Yeah, but on the positive side, I think Obama provides hope and challenges minds of all races and colors to erase the hate and try to love one another. So many political snakes, we in need of a break. I'm thinking I could trust this brother. But will he keep it way real? Every innocent nigga in jail gets out on the pill. When he wins, will he really care still? I feel.
Interesting example there, the last line, if he wins, is he going to care still? And, you know, what's the shorthand answer for that?
The answer is until it becomes a political liability, right? In 2011, we see the GOP beginning to associate Obama with the worst of black male criminality by challenging his relationship to hip-hop culture. Let me just tell you about two quick examples that are covered in the Hip-Hop Obama Reader. The first was the really innocuous invitation of Common to Michelle Obama's poetry session, right, in 2011. Common, a very conscious artist, positive community role model, gets labeled in the media, right, as being a cop killer, a thug. And so the headlines read, right, that Barack Obama is hanging out at the White House with cop-killing thugs. Fast forward a couple months later, Barack Obama has his 50th birthday party. He invites comedian Chris Rock, rapper Jay-Z, and the media becomes welfare president Barack Obama has a hip-hop barbecue, right? And so the image of the president, you know, involved with guns, drugs, right, criminal rappers, really shows the volatility, right, of embracing hip-hop culture. They were able to really use the stereotypes associated with the music to really force Obama to step away from such public proclamations of being a hip-hop fan.
And as we head into the election now, do you see hip-hop still playing a big role in politics, or what's going to happen with it as we move forward?
In the run-up to the 2016 election, all serious candidates on both sides of the aisle have been forced to replicate Barack Obama's performance of hip-hop culture. Right, the GOP traditionally has used hip hop as a wedge issue, but we see all the front runners using hip hop in their campaigns to sometimes successfully and sometimes unsuccessfully to reach out to Black, Latino, and urban voters. On the positive, we see Marco Rubio, right, sometimes being able to name check Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. and also talk about how his favorite group is the Wu-Tang Clan. On the opposite side, though, retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson has really failed to convince anyone that he's really a hip-hop fan. Earlier this year, he released probably the worst hip-hop Go Out and Vote for Me song ever recorded. One lyric actually reads, "Vote for Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome." Now, for those who are unfamiliar with rap music, Carson and awesome don't rhyme. And so the great doctor, he may have magical hands, but boy, he has horrible taste in rap music and lyricism.
And Travis, we leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much.
That was Travis Gosa, Assistant Professor of Social Science at Cornell University's Africana Studies and Research Center and co-editor of the new book, The Hip-Hop and Obama Reader. He joined us to talk about the relationship between hip-hop and politics, how it's changed, and where it's going next.